Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Let's pray in. Let's dive in today to Psalm 118. All right. Dear God, thank you for another day we get to come before you. Thank you, God, that your mercies and your love and your grace are new every day for us. God, thank you that we get to come before you humbly. Lord, open our eyes and ears, hearts and minds to what you want to speak in this time with us. God, I pray that I would decrease and you would increase. Let be your Holy Spirit speaking and ministering and leading and guiding your people today, God. I need you. And I'm not the only one here that needs you today, God. So I pray just meet us where we're at today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so get that sip of water in, sip of caffeine. Let's dive in together to Psalm 118. So we're continuing on in this season of thankfulness, right? November's a great time to be thankful. Every day's a great day. Every month's a great day, right? We especially dive in and focus on gratitude this month, right? And we see that that's so prevalent throughout the Bible, especially in the Psalms. So we're continuing our study through the book of Psalms, kind of hitting a few different Psalms along the way. So today we're continuing our thankfulness study with Psalm 118. I'm reading out the NIV version this morning. Verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession, up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen to God's word. All right. So we're diving in today. Psalm 118, And it's one of the Psalms in the final portion of the Book of Psalms, right? There's five different books. It's kind of like, larger collections of the Psalms. So this is the largest actually portion of the Psalms. And it's believed by many scholars to be a psalm written by David, although it doesn't specifically say here. It's written most likely by David around the time of 1044 BC. So about 1,000 years, over 1,000 years before Jesus came on the scene, right? And you're not imagining it. There's not deja vu. That refrain, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, his love endures forever, was a very common refrain the last couple of days, right? We heard it with Psalm 100 a couple of days ago, last week, right? It's also repeated the day after we studied in Psalm 107, right? Psalm 106, Psalm 117. There's a collection of these Psalms that all contain the same refrain, which again, if we're seeing, things repeating God's word, it's things we should be taking notice to, right? And it's funny. I was actually talking with my husband about this, doing this SOAP teaching, and how it's such a, I was like triggered back to my Catholic days because I can remember so clearly going to Mass and hearing this psalm be sung as one of the responsorial psalms. I actually looked it up in the Catholic liturgy, and it's actually this one of the psalms used the second Sunday after Easter. And so, in the way the Catholic liturgy works is they have a collection, a pattern of this of verse of scriptures and gospels that they read in a pattern. And so this psalm is actually one of those in the pattern for Sundays. And so what happened is in the Catholic days, the psalmist or the cantor, the leader of the choir, they would lead the congregation to sing the refrain. So we would all sing together, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, his love endures forever. And they would sing the verses by themselves and we would repeat. So we would sing, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, his love endures forever. Let the house of Israel say, let the house of Aaron say, let those who fear the Lord say. Then we all come back together as a church, as a congregation to say again, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. And so growing up, I feel like I actually lived out this verse, how it's being lived out here as the people are singing and responding to the psalm. And I'm joking with Bruce too. He laughs because he remembers singing a similar song to this. He grew up in the Baptist church. And so he remembers, he thinks it's actually a Chris Tomlin song that uses these verses, right? And so he remembers singing the same verses, the same common words in the Baptist church. And it just hit me the more I thought about this. We were laughing, we were joking, but the more I thought about this, that just seeing the generational impact of him and me both with gratitude and praising God, right? That even though we're from different denominations, maybe you have a different denominational background you grew up in, even though Bruce and I we go to Fusion now, we're non-denominational here at Fusion. We're seeing how the things we learned, Bruce and I learned from our parents and the church traditions we grew up in still impact us today and how we give thanks and praise to God. We still remember those words. We still remember those lyrics, right? And so when we see them again or we hear them again, it brings us right back to that time growing up, right? And we're seeing how our parents and our church family at the time had such an intentionality and a value in praising God that Bruce and I still learned. Even though we're not going to those churches anymore, we still have that ingrained in us because of how we grew up. And just shows, the impact we have of our gratitude, how we lead others by example and praising God and serving God and giving him thanksgiving. That's what those generations coming up will see in us. That's what our kids or our grandkids, our nieces or our nephews, they see that, right? And it's so cool too. So when you study this psalm, it's believed to have been written by David, like we said. However, they actually used this psalm in the building of the temple. So in Ezra, book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, it says, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord, as prescribed by David, king of Israel. That's where we think that David wrote the psalm, right? As prescribed by the king of Israel, David. Verse 11 says, with praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, he is good. His love towards Israel endures forever. And so we're seeing here, this psalm that was written by David is then being used a couple decades later in the building of the temple. So remember, David, he prepared everything for the temple. But he wasn't given the task by God to build it. His son Solomon was the one who was tasked to build the temple. And so David wrote this psalm, like we said, back in 1044 BC. And here we are in 2 Chronicles 5 in 957 BC. So over, what, it's math, almost 100 years later, right? In 2 Chronicles 5, verse 1, it says, when all the work of Solomon had done for the temple of the Lord was finished, he brought the things his father David had dedicated, the silver and gold and all the furnishings, and he placed them in the treasuries of God's temple. The trumpeters, this is verse 13 now, the trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to God. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices and praised to the Lord and sang, he is good, his love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud. The glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. And so again, so David wrote this song 1044 BC. Solomon and the Israelites 100 years later are still singing the same words, the same praises to God, right? And then what happens? We see here in 2 Chronicles 5 that by giving praise and thanksgiving to God, the praise and thanksgiving he's worthy to receive with or without a temple being built, right? But they're giving a special intentionality to praising and thanking God here as they finish the temple. And because of their praise, because of their thanksgiving and their gratitude, it ushers them, and it still today ushers us into God's presence and enables us to experience more of his glory. Because they're praising God. They're having trumpets and cymbals and singing, raised their voices and praise to the Lord at his presence. In that time, the cloud for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. And that's why we sing on Sundays. That's why we sing, our worship songs. Not because we're just here to have a good time, not because we want to do a karaoke contest, but because we know that by praising God, it ushers in his presence then and now. And again, the beauty of it is that we don't have to wait to come together on Sunday morning and come into, the four walls of the church to praise God. Because yes, that's God's house. Yes, his people come together as the capital C church. Wherever we worship God, we are his temple. And so we can ourselves, in our car, in our shower, as we're making breakfast or lunch for our kids, right? We can usher God's presence into our lives and our own temple of our body through praise and worship, through having a song on, through having, singing a song to ourselves. Having that worship allows us to experience his presence in a new, deeper way. And what's so powerful too is two chapters later in 2 Chronicles 7, it says, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, he is good, his love endures forever. So again, we're seeing not only did praise usher in the presence of God, but the more they praised, the more they gave sacrifices, the more they, gave thanks to God, the more of himself he revealed to them. The more of his glory they got to experience. And they came in first understanding, they're worshiping God. But then the more they gave thanks and praise and use those lyrics again, he is good, his love endures forever. It says they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground. They were so impacted by the presence and the power and the glory of God through their praise. And that's the beauty of who God is. It's a never-ending cycle of his goodness. The more we praise him, the more he reveals to us. And then the more we worship and give him thanks, because the more we're seeing of him. And then the more we give thanks to God, the more he shows us of himself. And it's a never-ending cycle of his mercy and his glory and his awesomeness of God. The more we praise, the more he reveals, the more he prays, the more, you know, it just keeps going on and on, right? Because we can never praise him enough. We can never have enough of him revealed to us. And it's the beauty of it. The more we have a daily offering, a daily practice of praise and thanksgiving, the more of God we get to see. Amen. And again, we're seeing how this generational tradition, an example of gratitude, is being passed down, right? This psalm was written by David and then performed 100 years later by his son and by the Israelites then. And then the same psalm we're reading about now, the same psalm, you know, I grew up in the Catholic church singing, Bruce grew up singing in the Baptist church, the same one we hear and on the radio, right? There's all kinds of songs about praise and his love endures forever, right? And so we're seeing how cool that is. How, again, you know, the impact generationally of these verses is so, so crucial and so, so powerful to see how God's word continues on. This, you know, these verses, you know, if you do the math, it's like, it's over 3,000 years ago, right? And yet we're still seeing this tradition of praise being passed on generation to generation, right? Even so much so that this psalm is actually one of the last of the six halal psalms, which was actually sung during the Passover ritual. So that being said, Jesus actually would have been singing the same psalm at the Passover, at the Last Supper with his disciples, right? And so Jesus himself is even singing these words that God is good and his love endures forever. As he's with his disciples, as he's about to be betrayed, he's about to go to the cross, right? And so we're seeing how everything in this psalm comes full circle, as we'll see a little bit later on. And so even that, even Jesus sang these same psalms that we sing today. This gives us a perspective, right, on the power of God's word and power of gratitude and how that's never ending journey, right? Never ending generational practice we get to have for someone else to see our example and follow our example, right? So the first application question we have then for today is, who is that younger generation that you need to be an example for of giving God praise and thanksgiving today? All right. That's all the background. That's now we're actually getting into the verses now, okay? So getting into verse one here, we see the flow of the psalm like so many others where we see throughout the books, right? We see this flow of praise, reminding, and the psalmist reminding himself and God's people who God is. We see an honest acknowledgement of struggles to God. We see a returning to his focus back to God, even in the midst of his struggles. And we see him declaring by faith what God's going to do through this, right? So in verses 1 through 4, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. Again, this is the NIV version, New International. If you're reading maybe out of the New Living Translation, it says his faithful love endures forever. On the New King James, it says his mercy endures forever. And the Amplified version, I love this. It says his loving kindness, all one word. His loving kindness endures forever. In the Passion Translation, it says his constant tender love. In the Message Translation, I love this one, Message Translation, it says his love never quits. So again, I love reading God's word in different translations to kind of get different perspectives of it, right? So whether it's his love, his faithful love, his mercy, you know, his constant tender love. What's the same between all the translations is endures forever. It never quits. And that's such a good reminder for us today, right? When we feel like we want to quit, we have times where we're like, God, I'm done. God, I'm over this person. I'm over the situation. I'm over, you know, feeling this way. But yet his love never quits. His constant tender love is there waiting for us, right? And so We're beginning this whole psalm out of praise and thanksgiving by calling God's people to come into agreement and into unity of who God was, who he is, and who he will be, right? And during this time, again, this is the psalmist, or as they're dedicating the temple, even, there's a mixed group of people here. It's not just Israelites, right? So you see that Israel say his love endures forever. And that's the majority of the people at the time. But the house of Aaron say, as the priests, right? The priests, those who are, higher up, they're repeating the same thing as all the other people. They're all coming to unity together, despite their different levels of status, right? Coming together in unity and agreement, his love endures forever. And let those who fear the Lord, those actually were people who may not have been Israelites, those who are Gentiles, or those who are believers from other nations, right? So at that time, even people were still converting. People were still coming to know the living God. And so people were coming to be part of this temple dedication, be part of just praising God, right? Who didn't grow up in the church. And so those who fear the Lord, those who converted, and those who now believe in the one true God, they're even being called into unity with all those born believers, right? They're being called into God's chosen people in unity, again, in agreement. There's no divide, no divisions here, right? We come into praise thanksgiving. We're all coming together in praise and thanksgiving. In verse 5 through 7, we see here this, if you catch it, this changing of the tenses, right? When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. That's past tense, right? I cried, he brought me. Verse 6, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. So verse 6 and 7 here, that the Lord is with me is present tense, right? So we have past, we have present. And then I will not be afraid. I look in triumph. That's future tense, right? And so we're seeing here, just these three little verses, we're seeing that acknowledgement of the past, the present, and the future, all of what God's doing in the psalmist's life, in the life of the Israelites, right? In our lives still today. And so, looking at from now, what has God done for me in the past? What is God doing now? And what will God do if I turn to and trust in him, right? In verses 8 through 9, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Again, so we're seeing that confirmation, that emphasis when things are repeated, right? So it's better to take refuge in the Lord. It's better to take refuge in the Lord. And let's be honest, I'll speak for myself. It's so easy to fall into that temptation to trust in humans, to trust in princes, right? Maybe it's a family member or a spouse or a close friend. Maybe it's a coworker or a boss or a political person, It's so easy for us to fall into those temptations to trust in humans because we can see them with our physical eyes, right? And again, this is David who's writing this. And so he knows firsthand what it means to take refuge in the Lord instead of humans, right? So he's just like us. He had his own struggles. He had people that he looked to, right? He had his brothers he looked up to as a youngest brother. He looked to his father. He had his mighty men around him, right? And yet, we see throughout his life, his brothers, his father, his men around him, King Saul, right? These people that he looked to, they betrayed him. They hurt him. They left him out. Man feel abandoned. They ridiculed him, right? And so David speaks from experience that it's better to trust and it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans, right? And we're seeing again the psalm's not unique, right? It repeats the same theme throughout scripture, throughout the psalms, that God is our refuge, God is our safe place, God's where we can run to, right? So we run to humans, then we're dependent on those humans. When they change, when things become distant, when things break, right, between people or idols or whoever we're looking up to on the human side of things, Disappointment comes in, anger, rejection, bitterness, right? And yet, when we take refuge in the Lord, He doesn't reject us. We take refuge in the Lord, He's trustworthy, He's steadfast, He's everything we want in a human, but He actually is. Things that humans can't be, or maybe not, won't be for us. No matter how great the person is, no matter what they say, what they do, you know, what their track record is with us, how many years of friendship, it's all good stuff, right? But at some point, humans will let us down and disappoint us and hurt us. But that's not who God is. God wants us to take refuge in Him. It's better to trust in Him than humans, Him than princes, Him than our boss, Him than a family member, Him than a coworker, right? Again, David's speaking from his own experience. I can speak from my own experiences too. I've trusted in humans and it let me down. I trusted in humans and it didn't work out so well. I trusted in humans and I had to come back to God and say, God, I'm sorry that I trusted in this person. I trusted in this job. I trusted in this situation that let me down, right? But God's always there to take us back. He's always wants to be our refuge. Over and over again, we can come to Him and trust in Him, right? Amen. Going down in verses 10 to 13, right? All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. Because now we're in that portion of the psalm where we can be honest with God, right? We can come to God and say honestly and vulnerably that, you know, the world around us feels like it's closing in on us. Whether it's a conflict in our family, a conflict in our workplace, maybe it's the pressures from work life or social life. Maybe it's even our own physical or mental or emotional health struggles, right? Or maybe those we love that are struggling with something. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to come to God and say, God, I feel like I'm being surrounded. God feels like I have nowhere to turn to. It feels like I'm being swarmed by bees, right? And yet in the midst of our not okayness, we need to remember that the name of the Lord is there. The name of the Lord is who we can come to and cry out to. He wants to help us. He's right there waiting for us. So yes to the doctors, yes to the therapists, yes to the medication, yes to the mediators, yes to the self-improvement books, yes to the motivational speakers, right? But none of those here. It says, in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. The name of the Lord, I cut them down. In the name of the Lord, three times, I cut them down. Because again, we can trust in humans. We can trust in all these different things. But at some point, they're going to let us down. But the name of the Lord saves. The name of the Lord never fails. The name of the Lord is our safe place, our refuge. So we can go to doctors. We can go to therapists. We can take medication. We can read the books, right? All those things will help us. All those things are great to have. Nothing's wrong with those things. We need to keep turning to God and say, God, I need You. Above anything else, I need these things and You. Above all else, the name of the Lord cuts them down. So again, we turn to people or things to cut down the outward sometimes, right? But the name of the Lord helps us cut down those inward attacks to dig deeper than just the things we see on the outside or things we feel on the inside, right? What's the symptom of the larger battle, the larger attack coming against us? That's where we can come to God and say, in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. In the name of the Lord, I cut through my anxiety. In the name of the Lord, I cut down my fear. In the name of the Lord, I cut down my insecurities, right? In the name of the Lord, I cut down that division in my family. I cut down the division in my workplace. I cut down the division and the pressures I felt from my poor social circle, right? In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. And when the name of the Lord cuts things down, it stays cut down. Amen. When the name of the Lord comes and the sword of the Spirit comes to cut back those things in our lives or come against those enemies, that's how things stay down. Amen. So our second application question here as we move through this is, where or in what ways do you feel surrounded or pushed back today? How do you need to cry out to God in honest, vulnerable acknowledgement of your need for Him? All right, continuing through here, verses 14 through 21. I love this. It starts out in verse 14 here. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. And these verses here, right here, actually comes from the book of Exodus in chapter 15, verse 2. This lyric here in the psalm is actually a reflection of this one of the verses of the songs of Moses and Miriam. After the Israelites escaped the Egyptians and crossed over the Red Sea, Moses and Miriam wrote a song, again, of praise and thanksgiving to God, right? Generational blessings, generational examples of praise, right? And Exodus 15:2 says, "The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation." And so David here, writing the psalm thousands of years later, right? He's still quoting the same songs of praise and gratitude as his ancestors. Again, the blessings and the beauty of generational thanksgiving, setting a generational example of gratitude for those coming after us, right? And reminder too, it says, you know, verse 15, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. Shouts of joy and victory resound after a battle. You need to go through an attack, a battle. You need to feel surrounded. You need to, even it says, chastening severely by God sometimes, right? We need to go through those things in order to be able to recognize and receive with awe and proclaim the mighty things God has and will do, right? You don't have a victory cry, you sit on the sidelines. That victory cry, that shouts of joy come after seasons of attack, seasons of struggle, seasons of sorrow, right? And we need to keep pressing into God during those seasons so we can get to this season of praise and joy, right? This is verse 19. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. And if you think back, this is what we're seeing read in Psalms. And Jesus even speaks about gates, right? In Matthew 7. He says in Matthew 7:13, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. God's gates, even his gates of thanksgiving, are narrow gates. He wants everyone to come through them, right? And yet we know that it's so easy for us to lose sight of that. And it's people around us who lose sight of that, right? That's why so many people turn away from God and come against him with rejection and anger and bitterness and disbelief instead of coming to him with thanksgiving, right? Because what differentiates us as Christ followers, as believers, right, is that we know we go through struggles, who is with us, right? We know we can rely on him, that he is our refuge even in seasons of struggle and challenges and heartache, and it's hard, it's so difficult. I've had those seasons too. It's so hard to give God praise and thanksgiving when you don't know what he's doing, when you see someone lose a family member, when you lose a family member yourself, when you see someone's child struggling, when you're struggling at work or in school. It's so hard to give God that praise and thanksgiving. It truly is. And that's why the gate here is narrow, right? It's not always easy. And yet these are the gates that only the righteous may enter, it says. Not the perfect, not the joyful, not the happy, not the godly, not the ones who everything is on the, you know, up and to the right. But those who righteously acknowledge their dependence on and thanksgiving for God, no matter what the situation is or how long it takes. Because like it says, every time he's with us. And going back to Matthew 13 and 14, right? The gates. Just before that, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So if you come to God and say, God, I need you. I don't know what you're doing. I don't have much praise right now, but I'm going to knock. God, I don't know what you're doing. I can't see it right now, so I'm going to seek you. God, I'm asking for some direction. I'm asking for some healing. I'm asking God for just these next steps so I can give you praise, so I can enter those gates, so I can turn away from the people who are encouraging me to get bitter and angry. It's just those small steps, those small acknowledgments that lead to bigger praise. Those shouts of joy, the shouts of victory, they come after the battle, not always in the midst of it, right? And yet we know we hold on to that hope. We hold on to who Jesus is. We cry out by faith and trust and dependence. We need to get and find people around us, a journey with us in those seasons, right? We come together with one another and with God. That's how we work through these hard seasons. Because it says, even in verse 18, the Lord has chastened me severely. It was hard for David. He had a lot of mistakes he had to get chastened for, right? And yet, he has not given me over to death. You're still here. No matter what you're going through right now, God has not given you over to death because he has more for you. He has more for that person you're praying for. He has more for your family. He has more for your marriage. He has more for your health. He's not giving you over to death because he still has a plan and a purpose for you. Keep holding on to that. If nothing else today, praise him for that. Say, God, thank you for another day on this side of heaven. So I pray every morning, God, thank you for these people in my life. Thank you for this roof over my head. Thank you, God, that I'm here. I have breath in my lungs today. And those small steps of praise, but leads to bigger steps, right? And that's why our third application question here is, what steps or path do you need to take today to enter into his gates of thanksgiving? As we continue on and close out here, verse 22, really well-known Psalm verse, right? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. See, the capstone or the cornerstone, when you're putting a building together, I'm not an architect, so, you know, ask a real architect, ask Mike Chambers, right? But the reality is that cornerstone or capstone, in some other translations as capstone, is an important stone that is held two rows of stones together in a corner, obviously, right? Cornerstone. And it stabilizes the foundation of a building, right? So nothing else can get built higher unless this cornerstone is securely and firmly, solidly in place, right? Again, this is David writing this psalm, right? And so in David's perspective, you know, he was rejected by his father and his brothers. He was rejected and, you know, sought after to kill by King Saul, who he served. He was rejected and ridiculed by his men who he trusted. And yet, he was also one of, if not the greatest, most influential Old Testament kings of Israel that led a spiritual revival and was a spiritual cornerstone of his people. And then he even more prepared the temple for his son Solomon to build it. So in theory, he was actually even a physical cornerstone, right? To the work that Solomon would later do. And so he's speaking running by himself. He's the cornerstone that God's building up the people on. He's rebuilding his people on and rebuilding the temple on later on. But it's also prophetically about Jesus, right? Now Jesus, he quoted himself this verse in Matthew 21. And Mark 12 and Luke 20, like he's quoting this throughout the New Testament, right? And then Peter even quotes this too, that the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, as he's speaking in the book of Acts. And so we see here how those who get rejected, just because people reject you, doesn't mean God's rejecting you, right? God wants to build something off your life still. If we allow him to be our foundation, we allow him to do the work in us, to prepare our hearts with praise and thanksgiving, right? To become the righteous ones to enter through the gates. And we close out here, right back where we started, verse 28 and 29. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Right back here where we started, right? Because we can give God all our feelings, the highs, the lows, the praise, the struggles, the questions, the doubts, the fear. But no matter what we give him, he is our God. He is worthy of our praise and exaltation. He is good, and his love endures forever. And remember, Jesus sang this very psalm, speaking about himself as a cornerstone. And the Last Supper, right? He speaks the same verses about himself as a reflection of himself. And then right before he closes out his Last Supper, before he goes to the garden to pray in Gethsemane, before he gets betrayed by Judas, before he goes to the cross. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. If Jesus could say all that, knowing what he's about to go through after the Last Supper, how much more can we say that today? With his strength, with his wisdom, with his mercy and his love to guide us through our own struggles. Amen. So our three application questions here again. One, who is that younger generation that you need to be an example for of giving God praise and thanksgiving? Two, where or in what ways do you feel surrounded or pushed back today? And how do you need to cry out to God in honest, vulnerable acknowledgement of your need for him? And question three, what steps or path do you need to take today to enter into his gates of thanksgiving? Amen. All right. Let's pray out. Dear God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you are good. Regardless of our feelings, regardless of our situations, God, we know that feelings and situations and people can all change, and yet you don't. So God, we echo the words of David. We echo the words of our ancestors, God. You are our God, and we will praise you. You are our God, and we will exalt you. We give thanks to the Lord, for you are good. Your love endures forever. Thank you, God, that we can stand on you as our cornerstone. Thank you, Jesus, that we can rest in you, rest in your presence when nothing else makes sense. Help us today. Keep our hearts and our minds focused on you. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, Lord. Praise and the thanksgiving and the blessings you've given us to be able to give back to you, God. Help us to be an example for others who need you most, who need your own light and your own love that we can show to in our lives around us today. Help us be an example for others coming up, Lord God, and lead the pathway for them to walk into their own gates of praise and thanksgiving alongside us, especially in the season of Thanksgiving. We ask and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, church. Thank you for today. Thank you for joining us. We're so glad to come together with you. Can't wait to see you soon. Take care and God bless.